The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to The Next Generation with me, your host, Victoria Cece. This is your podcast to learn about all the cool things Italians 30 and under are up to in the food and wine scene. And yes, that includes all the best things to eat.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Next Generation with the Italian Wine Podcast. I am here today with a very special lady, Margherita Forno. Ciao, Margherita.
Ciao, everybody. How are you?
Good. I'm doing really well. Where are you right now?
I am in my room in Santo Stefano Belbo. So it's where I'm based and where I live, in Piemonte.
Oh, beautiful. So where exactly in Piemonte is that?
Santo Stefano is a little village in between Langhe and Monferrato region, let's say. So it's in Cuneo province. It's, I don't know, like 30 minutes drive far from Alba, something like that. So really close. And yeah.
Wow, that must be beautiful. Did you grow up there?
Yes. So my family always been living here and I grew up here in Santo Stefano. Then I traveled a little bit. I studied in Alba, but I've always been based here.
Wow. And can you tell us a bit about like what it was like growing up there? Because I know everyone, of course, talks about that area with all the wine and everything, but we don't really talk about this, like, you know, we talk about the culture maybe through food, but what are the people like there?
It's a good question. They're nice. It's a tiny little town. So we are about 4,000 people living here. So like we know each other pretty much. You know, in a small village, you know, pretty much everybody. There's not many young people, I have to say. People tend to leave and maybe try to find a job somewhere else, maybe in the city, like in Torino or Milano. But there are few young people here that are going back to the land and try to, you know, grow vineyards and make wine. And I like that because it's a small community, but it's really nice.
No, you actually bring up a really important discussion is that we're discussing an area that's very famous for wine, very famous throughout the world for wine. Yet at the same time, there's still that need for more young people like you to come back and reinvigorate the land. And it's wonderful to see you. And I'm sure you have other people in mind that are there doing so. But we got to get the troops together, you know, get people to come because that's an area that is so special. We need all the young blood, as we say in English.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Because there's so many young people that are now interested in, you know, like go back to the land and give value to the place they're from and maybe replant old grape varieties that have not been used lately. So it's really interesting. It's fermenting. It's growing. So it's great.
To bring the discussion back to the main star of this podcast, you, Margherita. So who are you? Tell us about yourself. Wait, how old are you? We always have to ask this on the podcast.
I'm 27, but going on the 28.
Oh, we're the same age, Margherita. I did.
Oh, nice.
I made the salto. I did it. I'm 28 already, but...
Yeah, I'll be 28 in a few months, in September, middle of harvest.
Homeless baby. That's so sweet.
It was somehow written in my history already, you know.
Yeah.
Born during harvest and then work with wine.
Very poetic. I love it. So tell us a bit about your story.
Yes, I'm 27, almost 28. I studied winemaking and viticulture. I like music. I like playing music. I used to play drums. I like enjoying a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, good food with friends. And
well, I love that you brought up the music element because I think something that like we notice a lot in the wine industry is a lot of people in wine really love music or play instruments. And like, I think every time I've been at a winery, there's always been a guitar somewhere, you know, some kind of instrument somewhere, or then you drink too much wine and someone's playing the piano in the in the villa and you're like, okay, because
yeah, no, wine and music goes together.
That's so cool. So did you play the drums from when you were like a little kid?
I played drums for many years, and lately I'm playing a little bit less just because I've been a little bit more busy doing other things. But I would say until 2 or 3 years ago, I was really active playing drums. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. And like, were you playing in a band?
Yes, I used to play in a band, and then I just left the project because I had to choose if I wanted to travel a little bit for winemaking and, you know, get to know new countries and, you know, just travel a little bit or keep playing music. And my decision was wine.
Oh, that must have been, that's a hard decision. I could,
yeah, it was so hard.
But the beauty of music is you can carry it with you wherever you go, and, you know, it'll never leave you. So
yeah, that's true.
And I know we should probably get more to the wine side, but I have to ask you, I'm just curious, like, what are your favorite bands?
Oh my God, that's difficult. I can say a few of them. I really love The Nationals.
Oh, I love The Nationals.
I think actually my favorite band, like right now, I saw them for the first time in San Francisco and it was amazing. Like, first concert of The Nationals, first concert in the US, and I was so thrilled. It was amazing. And then I used to listen a lot of Italian music. I really like a band called Verdena. Then I like a lot of Italian songwriter like Fabrizio De André, Lucio Dalla. Yeah, so a bit of Italian music, but also Italian new band, Fast Animals and Slow Kids, Cola Pesce di Martino. They're cool. They played at Sanremo, so they are Italian icons.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show.
I love music. Music's a big passion of mine as well. This is not the music podcast, otherwise I would totally just talk about music whole time, but we can always talk about it offline.
With pleasure.
Yes, we should. But again, I mean, I understand like a hard decision to, when you have two passions, what to focus on most, but that, you know, begs the question, why do you love wine?
I do love wines because being able to make wines, I mean, working in the vineyards and then in the winery and then taste the wine, you see all the process and you can really take care of it. For me, it's really important to respect the environment and the nature, and so trying to do things in the most respectful way. I like to work with the nature. I like to see the evolution of the wine and of the process. And then I like to share wine. Wine is sharing. Like, it's every time you go with friends and you see friends and there's always some wine or food. I think it's really important.
Well, I mean, first of all, I should say that I didn't introduce your winery, which is totally my fault. So, I mean, as much as people can read the show notes in the podcast, I probably should say. So it's Tenuta il Falchetto, correct?
Yes, Tenuta il Falchetto. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So everyone knows now where we're discussing. We got the area earlier. But that's so beautiful. I mean, yeah, the nature is like a, you know, that's a huge aspect of winemaking that often, you know, people don't necessarily see looking at a bottle and drinking it. So what is your role like in the wine? Are you more in the vineyards? Are you making the wine? Are you doing both? Well, obviously, both is kind of part of the job as a winemaker.
Tenuta il Falchetto is my family winery. So it's a family estate. And as a family estate, we do a little bit of everything. Like, everybody does a little bit of everything. But I have to say, I mainly spend time in the winery. But I like to go in the vineyards as well. It depends on the period of time. Like, maybe during harvest, of course, I spend time in the winery, even after harvest. And then during pruning, I might go out a little bit in the vineyards to help pruning. Or, for example, now the growing season is starting, I think I'll go in the vineyards quite a lot because the work in the winery is a little bit more quiet right now in this period until harvest. So I think I will help out more in the vineyards. And sometimes I also do wine tastings at home. So a little bit of hospitality as well. And I also go to the wine fair, wine shows. So I really do a little bit of everything, like everybody else, like in the company, let's say.
I can imagine, like, family businesses, whether it's wine or not, are all hands on deck, always, as we say. I mean, businesses in general, I'm sure, but like definitely family businesses. And how big is your family? Like, how many people are involved?
So there's me, my father and my uncle, my mom and one of my aunt. So it's five of us. And then some of my cousins are coming. So they are finishing university and starting to, I mean, after getting some experience abroad, they are coming back and entering the company as well, like helping us out. So at the moment, we are five to seven from the family. And then we have also other people out of the family helping mainly in the vineyards. There's more job over there.
Amazing. And I have like an interesting question for you that you mentioned that younger people in your family coming from university and their travels and coming back. Do you notice that their drinking habits are different, or like what they like to drink is different than you, or of course, like, you know, your Zia or of the different generations? Because I mean, of course, whether or not they join the family winery, just do you see a change?
Yeah, I think there's some differences just because, especially traveling, you might have access to also different wines and different wineries with different philosophy. So it might be a more kind of natural wine or something a little bit more conventional. It's interesting because coming back to the fact that I live and we live in a very small village, it's not super easy to get a lot of different wines out of the wines from the area. And of course, beautiful Barolo and Barbaresco, mainly also wines from Tuscany. But I don't know, if you want to try a wine from New Zealand or from the US, it's hard to find. So traveling, it's maybe easier to get to know different wine styles, different grape varieties. So I think there's a change, there's a difference. And also I think nowadays young people prefers to drink sort of like more easy drinking wines, I would say, not in a bad way, absolutely, like a glass that you can drink the bottle and you will still be fine and you want more. It's not like a super tough and full-bodied wine. They want to drink something a little bit more, you know, chill in a way, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing that as well. And we see that with, like, especially with the wine bars, for example, that are popping up in Italian cities, also in towns by younger people. It's all about really like easy drinking juice, you know, a lot of natural wines, a lot of things that, you know, you can sip, a lot of bubbles, like sparkling wines.
Like pet nats.
Pet nats, yeah. The pet nat is not going anywhere, as I've learned. But for you, what do you like to drink?
I like to drink a little bit of everything. Like, I really like to experiment and to try new things. I'm not afraid of trying cloudy wines, orange wines, or like super oaky wines. I really like to try everything, to experiment and to learn more from the wine tasting. But lately I'm enjoying more like light-bodied wine, you know, as you said, some sort of like juices, something really easy drinking, juicy, a little bit of acidity, but fruity, something you want to drink. One glass, two glasses, three glasses, and more and more and more.
Yeah, exactly. That, like, you can be carried on through the night and not be too wasted, but also be nice and
tipsy, kind of.
Yeah. You know, I, of course, and you, you know, working hands-on with wine, you know that, you know, there's different wines for different times, different moods, you know, different foods as well. Something I always end up asking about because I'm a diehard food lover. I love to eat. I think we're in a space right now in the world where, you know, wine isn't going anywhere in the sense that, like, people still want to drink it and have, like, we're saying, these fun kind of, you know, wines that are like juice, like you drink them easygoing, fun. But at least I think that's a way for people to be opened up to other things because, you know, if you're at a wine bar, let's say they don't have the wine that you're used to drinking all the time, then it opens up the door for somebody to be like, oh, you should try this wine. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe if you're ordering, you know, that dish, you could try this wine. And I don't know, I'm optimistic because I'm based in Rome and I see so many people love to go out and just try different stuff at like different, you know, wine bars without like blinking an eye. But again, that's anecdotal. That's from like, you know, I'm not doing like a case study, but I'm sure with people like you behind the bottles, we're okay.
Definitely.
Okay. I have to ask because again, food lover over here. So what's like your favorite thing to eat from where you're from? Something maybe your nonna would make.
I really love fresh made homemade gnocchi and lasagna.
Mm.
I think that's the things I love the most. And my nonnas would cook, of course, in the best way I've ever had before.
Was it like a traditional lasagna, like a kind of bolognese, or was it like some secret Piemontese lasagna?
Yeah, it's like a lasagna with ragu, tomato and meat, and then bechamel as well, and then fresh pasta sheets, and then parmigiano, and then everything cooked in the oven with a little crust on top, soft in the inside, it's creamy. It's just delicious, you know, like flavors from nonna cuisine, it's just unique.
Yeah, it's like a hug, like an abbraccio. Oh my gosh, so what wine would you pair with that?
I would pair Barbera, I think. Yeah, I would definitely pair Barbera. For me, I think Barbera is my favorite grape ever. I love it.
I love Barbera. I agree with you. It's a pretty, it's great. It just goes with everything.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's a super versatile grape. You can make like a super easy drinking, juicy wine because Barbera has this beautiful red fruit flavor, always a very nice and good acidity, so it's something really juicy and easy drinking. Or you can get super complex textural and full-bodied wines like Nizza DOCG or something like that, like Barbera Superiore, for example. So something really, a wine you can age for years. So I love it for that reason. It's super versatile and very easy to pair with everything. It's like a everyday wine.
Absolutely. And especially for a red, which I feel like some people feel intimidated when it comes to reds, especially like Piemontese reds, because it's, you know, at an upper echelon. Barbera kind of brings it all together because it's kind of like, it, like you said, it's the trattoria wine, but then it can also be like the princess, like the regal wine. Like it's, it can go both ways. And I love it.
I totally agree. Yeah.
So again, kind of like Barbera, I mean, you're a really versatile gal and you probably see many different things from your travels and from working in and beyond the winery. Like, do you see any kinds of, you know, trends in the Italian wine business, especially in regards for young people in wine?
I see, let's say, two different scenarios. I see some young people really getting passionate about the wines. They want to learn more, discover, and they don't stop studying just here. They go abroad and they really are interested in different wine areas, different grapes, different winemaking techniques, and also to try wines from different countries. And other young people not really caring about wine. So maybe they buy super cheap wines. They're not really interested. And that's what I see. But on the side of people interested, I really admire it. And I think it's we are going in the right way, because especially in small villages, is people tend to stay here. They don't want to go out because they kind of try to settle here also for the mindset, a little bit closed mindset. And so seeing them kind of breaking those rules, going away and like trying to learn more and understand more, it's interesting. I think it's amazing. And that's what we need to refresh also a little bit the winemaking style here, or bring new tastes and new things from abroad. So even if we come from a very historical wine area, historical wines and everything, so I think it's important to bring some fresh air as well. So I admire those people, those young people a lot.
Oh, Margarita's gonna shake up the lange. I like what you're saying, because no, it's true. I mean, and that's part of the evolution in wine and food and everything. It's not that things have to change completely and you lose traditions. It's that you evolve and you adapt to the industry and the reality that you're living in. And that's how we're at the point we are with the amazing wines that we can drink and we have access to. And I think that keeping that mindset and having, you know, encouraging, you know, young people to whether it come back to the land, come back to the winery, or just to drink more of these wines and show their choices also and like make them feel proud in the choices of what they want to drink is really important as well. I think we're out of the world where we're shaming people for not drinking certain things. Like, it, you know, it's like, oh, like you want to share those experiences. And I think it's the most important aspect of wine. Like drinking wine alone, I mean, we've all done it, but like, it's not as fun.
It's usually not in fun moments.
Yeah, exactly. You're not drinking wine alone because you're having fun.
It's like, yes, I'm drinking, but, you know, I'm crying, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, before we wrap up, I always wrap up my interviews with a quick overview of five things in under 5 minutes, where I ask you five easy questions to sum up all the beautiful things we talked about today. And then you're free to go and you don't have to talk to me anymore.
No.
Okay. So whenever you're ready, I will start the timer.
I am ready.
Who are you?
Margherita.
And where are we with your winery?
In Santo Stefano Belbo.
And what's the vibe? What's the culture in one sentence?
It's interesting and inspiring.
And what's the dish? The food dish and the wine pairing we discussed today.
Lasagna and Barbera.
I'm so hungry now. Okay, and then lastly, changing it up a bit, what's one piece of advice you would give other people interested in joining the wine industry?
Travel, discover different wine cultures, taste a lot of wines, and then have strong ideas and values and try to make the best wine for yourself.
Oh, I like that. Try to make the best wine for yourself. I like that one. Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Margherita. It was really fun chatting with you.
Thank you. It was amazing.
I loved all the things we covered in such a short period of time. And I wish you the best of luck in all of your endeavors, all the things you have coming up, and for your harvest and your birthday. And I hope to meet you in person soon.
Yes, me too. Please come visit. It will be amazing to host you here and show you a little bit around.
Absolutely. All right. Well, enjoy your day and we will see each other in the Lange.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
As always, a big grazie for hanging out with me today. Remember, you can catch me on the Italian Wine Podcast every Sunday and anywhere you can get your pods.